Well, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Tonight's going to be special. And we praise you and thank you that we have the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, thank you, Ben. Oh, my. Oops, yeah. No problem. No problem. We just lost 12 minutes, is all. Go ahead, Ben.
Okay. I got a couple of things to bring up here. Bit of a confession from the weekend. I was all last week pretty much taking care of my mom's dog and her cat because they were out of town. So I was over at their house pretty much all week. And they got a television with Netflix and all that stuff. And I kind of got distracted with that over the weekend. And I just want to confess to that in front of my brethren because I don't feel good about it. I've confessed it towards my father, towards our father. And I just want to bring it in with you guys so that a little bit of prayer can be amongst you guys. So, Father, I've confessed to this already. I just pray that we all come together, that these distractions no longer distract any of us, Father, and that we all be diligent, that we don't just sit in the back seat, but we strive forward with you. And I rebuke any sort of thoughts of being swayed into worldliness or being tempted into something. We thank you, Father, for giving us an acute mind to walk forward in truth and in faith. Thank you, Father. So I also have two other prayer requests for others. Karen is feeling a bit under the weather. She's got a fever and she's got aches and pains and all that hoopla. So I gave her some verses, and but I'd like to pray with you guys. Just have all of our faiths come together for that. Father God, I thank you for this new testimony of healing that we're going to have for Karen. We thank you for healing her, Father, because we know by your stripes we are healed. And you did this at the cross, Father, and you already dealt with it 2,000 years ago. So we thank you, Father, for dealing with this. And we thank you, Father, for bringing us together for this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. And thank you, Father. Today I ran into my sister at the local grocery store that I go to. She never goes to that one.
So, did she get hurt?
No, she's fine.
Oh, I thought you said you run into her. I'm just asking.
Well, I met up with her.
Oh, okay.
And apparently she was a little manic, a little disturbed. And so she was like, yeah, I just heard yesterday that my job isn't giving me, the benefits for the mat leave when I get my baby. So that was a big shocker and she was not very happy about that. So, I'm just going to ask that we all pray for this as well. It's a bit of a sticky situation. And, anyways, I don't want to add any more, badness to this. So I'm just going to go ahead with it. Lord, Father God, I thank you for what you're doing in my sister and my brother-in-law's life. Thank you for opening Zach's mind to this, to a spiritual type of mindset. And you know where he's at, but Father God, I'm going to you for their financial needs. Lord Father God, I know that you can multiply. Lord Father God, I know that you can provide and supply for your people. But Father God, I ask that you do what you need to do with this, Father. We ask that you provide for them financially. Any means that I know you can do, which is any way. And Father, I pray that they are safe with their money, that all the extra spendings get smaller, and they are wiser with their money, and that they use that money for the child that's coming. We thank you, Father, for providing for our families and us, Father. And I pray that you can use this as a great testimony to bring them into the kingdom. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. I believe with me, it's happening now. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Teresa, go ahead. You got to unmute your microphone. Remember, you got to just click on it. What says mute or unmute? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I'm still learning to use my son's computer. Okay. I just want to pray for Terry again and me. Remember when you prayed and you bound up all those demons and you said, you know, you have a miracle? Well, when his dad bailed him out of jail, he has stopped using alcohol completely. And he couldn't stop before. So that's a miracle in itself. And so now I'm just trying to drop the charges against him, get the charges dropped against him. When he was out of his mind, he had tried to grab my keys and I wouldn't let him. And so I called the police. And policeman came out and took him to jail. Well, so because all this has happened, his dad bailed him out. He's completely abstaining and he's trying to get into an inpatient treatment center, 30 days. And they had just faxed his information to, there's four of them in Topeka. They had one that he was working with, had not gotten his intake information. And so, when his dad took him there to, start the stay, he couldn't get in because he didn't have his intake information. So his dad took him, his dad lives about 200 miles away. So his dad took Terry home with him to where he and his wife are. And so Terry, and when he got out of jail, he was just skin and bones because evidently they didn't help him with extreme alcohol withdrawals. And so it's a good thing you prayed that those things were bound, but he's skin and bones right now. So he's got to get built back up. And and it's a good thing his dad got him out of there. Because, physically he was, basically had been starving. And so, so I called the city, the Topeka prosecutor, and I, talked to his, assistant. And then I also texted the prosecutor that was working with Terry and asked them to drop the charges because he was, obviously he's making a change to his life and he wants to, just do the treatment, get strengthened up more and just, get himself totally free. And so, which I already know it's already, started. And so anyway, when I called the prosecutor, they wanted to argue with me when I said, I want to drop charges and, I don't want to do any kind of testifying against him. This gal, she argued with me. They didn't want to do it. And so anyway, I would like prayer that that's dropped. I've already been praying that. But I would like prayer that it's dropped and the charges is the whole thing is just dismissed. And that Terry is successful, in getting to where he needs to be to strengthen him up.
Okay, we can do that. Okay. Your
And I would
voice has changed. Oh, my goodness.
That's Nini, my German Shepherd.
Okay. All right, let's pray for the prosecuting attorney official. In the name of Jesus, right now, I break that demon's power on her that wants to argue with Teresa. And I thank you, Father, that your favor angels are there placing favor in her heart to do what Teresa wants and has to drop the charges. They don't have a case if she doesn't testify. So, Father God, we just praise you and we thank you for doing that. And we thank you, Lord, that Terry's going to be out of there with him. Is he out of jail now?
Yeah, he is. He's
okay.
He's at his dad and his wife's house. About two, they live in Victoria, which is about 200 miles away from here.
Okay.
And so they plan to come up, they had planned to come back up here. He had planned to bring Terry up here for the hearing Thursday. But in the meantime, I've been calling the prosecutors and asking them to drop the case, dismiss all the charges.
Okay. Lord, we thank you that that's already been taken care of. And we praise you, Father, that the angel is going to strike all of Terry's information off the records in the courthouse in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that he doesn't have a record in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that they don't have anything to go by, and it's done. Y'all believe that? I believe the angel's already have straightened all that out in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, he doesn't have his name in the registry now. He's not on the court docket anymore.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I believe it.
Thank you, Lord.
For Jesus.
Yep.
All
Thank
right.
you, Lord.
Is that all you had? Not that that wasn't enough. I'm just asking. Did you have something else that you wanted to pray about?
Who, me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Provision. For him,
okay.
Because he's got to start his life all over again, and his wife took everything, and he's just got to get strengthened up to where he can work again, and he needs to just start his life. He's got a job as soon as he can work. As soon as he's strong enough to work, he's got a job. He's a master electrician. He was fixing multi-million dollar machines, fixing them at the Goodyear plant in Topeka, 22 years. And they tried everything they could do to not lose him. But so at that time, he was not, he was just, he had to, I don't know what to say, but anyway, he doesn't have that job anymore. But my son is also a master electrician. My other son, my youngest son, Terry's my oldest son. Jesse's my youngest son. My youngest son also is a master electrician and they need electricians bad. And so Jesse said they would hire him in a heartbeat. So so he's got a job as soon as he can work again. But he's got to get his body built back up. He's got to get his heart and spirit built back up, and he's got to get strong enough to work again.
Okay, Father God, I lift up Terry to you,
and so,
I thank you, Lord, that you're already working on him, Lord. And I praise you, Father, that physically, within just a couple of days, he's going to be ready to go to work, Lord, because of your grace and your mercy upon him, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father,
he's going to have
a wonderful appetite, and he's going to just feed on fried chicken and bologna and just get right fat and ready to go to work, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Terry. All right. It's done. I believe he is taking care of. David said, okay. He said he sent the angels up there to put those planes in the boneyard. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the chemtrail. Go ahead, Pat.
Before I start, I wanted to pray for Terry as well. Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in Terry right now. And we come together. We bind that spirit of hopelessness that is tempting him and derailing him. And we bind it right now and cast it out in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to fill him with hope, the hope of your Holy Spirit, and grant him grace to seek you with his whole heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And just, Lord, just ask you to bring him into the kingdom in strength and heal his heart, heal his desire, and draw him to you in the power of the Spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I wanted to ask for prayer of agreement for my feet. I've been experiencing tingling and soreness of my feet and everything. And I'm asking, trusting the Lord that by his stripes I was healed. And I thank you, Lord, that you've delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness, translated us into your kingdom of light and liberty and love. And I thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is sin and death, and set us free in Jesus. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free. And I thank you for it. I claim it, Lord. And I thank you for my healing, that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And I praise you, Lord. I thank you for your reality, your healing, your truth, that you sent your word and give us your word that we were healed by those stripes. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. He's healed, delivered, and set free. Glory be to God. Amen. Yes. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I just want to share something just to maybe encourage you, Pat, or anybody else that's going through a trial. I've been going through some trials with my body, just physical things and just physical manifestations that the Lord's been teaching me, just to ignore what I feel, to cast it down, ignore it, and not, because I've already bound it. I already know I'm healed. And I've been confessing that. So when these manifestations happen, they've been in different parts of my body. Count it all joy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, very manifold trials you fall into, because that's really what it is. And I'm trying to rejoice in it but not get confused by the enemy either. And that, you know, that's been a trial. So, but just to go about, you know, doing whatever it is I'm doing and ignoring what I feel. And the Lord's been giving me a lot of grace with that. So even though it feels like it feels, it's just like, no, I'm healed. No, I'm healed. I don't even have I don't even want to give acknowledgement to it when it happens. Like, you know, a limp or a cringe or a, or whatever, a moan, like it hurt, you know, or anything, you know. And it's not easy, but what the Lord's been telling me is like, you are being tried. My faith is being tried. Am I really believing what God said? Am I just, it's overcoming mind of the flesh? It's like, it's nothing. Jesus already took this. And just keep praising and thanking God, you know, that, you know, for all the goodness that he's given and what he's done for me, and confess the word and just ignoring it and just going about whatever it is I'm doing, you know, whatever it is I'm doing, and trying not to even, let it affect me, you know, and that's the difficult part. So Father, I pray for myself. I pray for everybody, Lord, that we can go about our lives and not even let what we feel in the natural, in our physical bodies, when we get an affliction of some sort, that even slows us down. That we're not even, it's bound, it's gone, it's done. We just ignore it. And I pray for more grace for that, Lord, as we go through our trials, that, you know, our faith is being proven. And it's all for your glory, Lord, that we're patient in our trials, and we're going to have everything. We're going to have everything. But patience have its perfect work, that we'd be perfect and entire and lacking nothing. So we're going to have everything. So I thank you, Lord, for it's done. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are healed. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yep, we all are. I'll be one if you will, too. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Pat.
I'd like also a prayer for my son. He has been sick for the last few days with some sort of digestive problem, or I'm not really sure exactly what it is, but so I just like prayer for him as well. Father, I ask you, I thank you, Lord, that you have reign over all sickness. You've given us your word, Lord, that whatsoever we pray, believing we have received, we shall have it. So I ask, Lord, that you would heal Charlie of this malady or whatever, and raise him up and allow him. He's got some job interviews on Thursday or whatever, but Lord, that you would heal his body, and heal his heart and mind, and strengthen him, Lord, for, and give him a strong desire to look to you. Lord, we know that all healing, all truth, all desire, all hope, all strength, all supply, all comes through you and from you. And so I just ask that you would bless his heart to grasp onto that for him, Lord. But I just thank you for his healing. I thank you that you are raising him up even now. I reject and rebuke those symptoms, whatever symptoms that are on his body, in the name of Jesus Christ, and cast them down right now. They are neutralized, and health is coming through him right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Lord be to God.
Michael, can I give a real quick testimony?
Sure. Yeah.
Terry read that encouraging note that she'd been healed in her teeth, and I didn't bring this up a month or two ago, but reading her testimony reminded me of it, and I had a filling in the back of my mouth that was starting to ache, And my tooth was starting to, starting to hurt, basically painful. And I, of course, at that time, I just rebuked it and asked the Lord to heal it, trusted him that he healed me by his stripes. And it was kind of the same way that it was with Terry, is that the next day it was a little bit less painful. And of course, you battle, just like Julie said, you battle with these thoughts. Oh, it's going to fall out, or, it's going to be worse. It's going to, you're going to get sick. You're going to have so much pain, you won't be able to work, and all of the other accusations that the devil throws in there. But, and quite frankly, I felt very weak in the midst of that process. But thank the Lord, I was able to just hold on to that truth that by his stripes we were healed. And the next day it was less, and I think it was the third day it was gone completely, and it hasn't returned. So, praise the Lord. I just wanted to give the Lord thanks and glory and praise him for his word that he's given us, that by his stripes we were healed. And I just thank you, Lord, for that truth and that life and that desire to hold on to you, Lord. I know that though it seems like we shake in the midst of these trials and temptations, but even though we think that we are holding on to you, you in fact are holding on to us. And so I just thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We look our faith up with prayer and it's done. It'll be all done. I had a thing popped up here a while ago. It said, it sounds like y'all are not talking English. Do you want me to keep English as a language? I ain't heard nobody speak any different language than y'all.
I shall not like here to roll.
You did what? If all I do for don't say. Okay. Can y'all hear me okay? Is it time delay? Okay, good. How do you know? See, I spoke a while ago, and now y'all are just now responding to me. I'm just kidding. You know, we got good communications tonight. All right, anyone else? Y'all want to hear some good worship music? Amen. Lord, our desire in this ministry is to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Y'all, Vanita.
Well, since you're all talking about healing, I wanted to ask, so Frank was talking to me about healing, and I was trying to share with them, like, we have whatever we believe, whatever we ask for, we have to believe we have received it and we shall have it. And just different verses and stuff. And, the thing he said was, well, I can't agree with that because I just look at Paul. And when I look at what Paul said, he had the thorn in the flesh and he asked the Lord, take it away. Three times he asked him and he didn't do it. So there's an example of, just because you believe it doesn't mean it's going to happen. And so I'll just ask you guys how you would respond to that.
Ask him this. asking, has he read the whole thing there that he's talking about? What is the thorn in the flesh? Do you know what the thorn in the flesh was, Benita?
Yeah, it was a messenger of Satan. And I did tell him, I said, and later on, Paul says that the Lord delivered me from all, from everything that happened. He delivered me from everything. So, you know, I did tell him the Lord, you know, allowed that messenger of Satan to be there because he had just had that vision where he had that, you know, he had been in the spirit and been taken up to the throne or wherever he was. And he didn't want him to get all puffed up is what I understand.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So he needed that to be humble, to keep his humbleness. And, so there was a purpose to it, but Paul says later on, in the end, he delivered me from all of it.
Yeah.
So that's where I took him, but I didn't know if there was a different way to answer that.
No, that's the right way to answer it. What did he say?
He just kept going back to, you know, he asked him 3 times to take it away and he wouldn't take it away. And I kept coming back to, well, it does say we have to believe we have received it. That's what it says. And I can't, you know, that's what scripture says. So that's what I have to do. I have to believe I've received my healing and I will have it. Now, no, Paul didn't get it, but there was a purpose God had.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. What about all the, have you gone through the scriptures, the promises that God gave us, like Isaiah 3 through 5, and also 1 Peter 2:24, and also Mark 11:24, and all of those scriptures?
I didn't go through those, but I did talk about how in the book of Acts, anytime, yeah. Well, not in the book of Acts, but in the Gospels, when anybody asked for a healing for their son or somebody, the Lord would say, what faith, just be amazed at what the faith they had for the healing. And they had the faith and that's what manifested the healing.
Yep.
And that happened over and over and over again. And so that's where I went, but I will look up those verses again and refresh my memory.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you might pull out the Real Good News. It's got all of those good scriptures in it.
Yeah, I think for him, definitely, there's that religious spirit. So there's that to overcome.
Let's play against that. Let's break the power of that thing. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of that religious spirit. We command it to go from him right now. We're not going to put up with your garbage. Go from him. And we thank you, Father, for giving him clarity of thought that he thinks for Frank and not for that demon in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for doing that for Frank. Open his mind. Open his spiritual eyes, Lord, and his spiritual ears in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay.
Amen. Amen. I think I'll just add also, I was telling him that, you know, we have to be overcomers in all things. You know, we're not just going to, oh, that hurts and I give up. No, we have to fight the fight. We have to pick up the sword and, you know, fight. And so we have to go all the way to the end. We have to overcome. So that was the other thing that I mentioned to him.
You got to have it with a dogmatic tenacity to just know that it's done. And you're receiving it. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Missy.
Well, I'd like to add to that prayer or warfare or whatever on Frank's behalf. But we just find that Babylonian religious spirit of confusion in the name of Jesus, the lies and deceptions, and spiritual pride, religious pride in the name of Jesus, you hear from him. He is he is healed, because your word says it, Lord, he is healed. Vanita, an excellent article that to take him to help him understand also would be, it's called Paul's Thorn, Hezekiah's Fig, Paul's Thorns, Timothy's Wine, and Hezekiah's Figs, I think, or something like that. I'll see if maybe I can find it and put the link or send it to you. I'll text you the link or whatever for it. Have you ever read that? Do you have that on hand? Or
I don't think I've read that one. I know I read one about where David talks about it's not an infirmity, it's a weakness, and he goes into that. But I think that's a different thing.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's three, that article that mentions those three things is an excellent article to dispel a lot of the arguments, you know.
Right.
Explains a whole
Jerry says it's him, doctors of demons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's in that, Julie? Okay, cool. Do you have that book, Anita? It's online.
It's on the website. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep, I've seen it out there, so I think I've read it once, but I'll go back and read it again.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Well, we thank you. Thanks for coming into the faith business in Jesus' name. Come to meet it. All right, anyone else? Y'all want to hear some good? Oh, go ahead, Pat. I'll let you go.
I was just thinking, sometimes the scripture can be, I guess, confusing. Or it can be confusing if we're simply taking it, you know, and reading it like a book of, you know, instructions or, you know, following, you know, like we would a YouTube video or something like that, how to do this and that and whatever. And it's not because everything in it, everything in the scripture is absolutely true. But, some things are meant, so I'm thinking of the scripture, some things are meant as milk. And for mass consumption and just eating and growing and eating and growing and that whole process. When we, you know, when we're young Christians or born again or babes in Christ and we just have the desire to eat and consume and to bring it in. And in that process, just like a little baby, you don't have a whole lot of awareness, or concerns about other things. You're just eating and consuming and enjoying the Lord. And so it, which is absolutely essential. We don't eat, we don't grow, we don't learn, we don't, whatever. But then there's a process that the scripture, identifies as the young man stage, you know, you get through the birth stage and the young man when we're starting to, discover more problems. Things become a little more difficult in certain things, and we have to have different truth, because those foundational truths that we got used to, that we exercised ourselves in, didn't seem to pull us through to the ultimate solution that we were looking for. And they're not meant to. Those foundational truths are meant to get us started. And then we, of course, build upon that. And when I say we, the Lord knows exactly, he's the author and the finisher of our faith, and he knows exactly what we need, not what an instructor thinks we need or a teacher thinks we need, but the Lord Jesus knows exactly what we need in our heart at that time in order to set us free, in order to strengthen us and get us through the process. The example that comes to me is because it's, you know, the scripture says we go through line upon line, precept upon precept, etc. And, you know, I preface this, whatever I'm saying here, with just the broad statement that it is absolutely difficult and probably impossible to walk this path of life without the Holy Spirit, without the Lord Jesus having that, I'm going to say, intimate hearing of his discernment to hear his voice in however he manifests his voice to you. Without the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit and following the Spirit and being led and accepting that leading through the scripture, it is absolutely essential to being able to follow him through the building, the growing, the maturing process, because you simply don't know, what I should be. You don't know what you need to know. I guess that's the gist of it. Some things, again, are meant to be foundations, and those foundations do not leave us, but they're built upon. And sometimes where that truth that is built upon those foundations takes us, many times it's hard to see the foundation. And I'm in the construction business, and I understand how to erect buildings and whatever. And I understand that some of the most significant design and necessary design are for the foundations, the footings, which are down under the building, underground, and you never see those foundations. You never see them. But if those foundations are not there and not correct, you're going to see the results of that in this building up above, because you're going to have cracks in the walls and sagging and all kinds of stuff. Those foundations have to be there, and they have to be sure deep down onto a place where they cannot be affected by hot and cold and temperature changes and whatever else. But house or the building on top of those foundations usually doesn't even reflect. It doesn't even look anything like a foundation. It's a totally different edifice. There, and I'll just give a quick example. I don't know if I can do quick, but the Wright brothers, and this is kind of, I think I've, this kind of revelation or presentation came to me before, and that was, the Wright brothers in, I think 1903 or whatever, they are obviously known for creating and inventing the first powered flight with an air, you know, obviously with an airplane. Now, mankind had been dreaming and trying to figure and this and that and whatever for, 6,000 years before, to no success. But all of a sudden the Wright brothers came along and they took advantage of the laws of aerodynamics and were able to push that plane and through lift and various different mathematical formulas were able to create a machine that, if they satisfied all those requirements in the law of aerodynamics, they could get that plane off of the ground, and that's exactly what they did. But the laws of aerodynamics function from the it only works based upon the law of gravity. And the law of gravity has been with us, you know, in existence forever. But the problem is the law of aerodynamics did not eliminate the law of gravity. It overcame it. And if that law of aerodynamics continues to be in effect, you can overcome the law of gravity. Should you cease utilize or keep the law of aerodynamics satisfied, the law of gravity will take effect and that plane will fall out of the air. And so it's the truths, I believe, are the truths of the scripture that the Lord leads us into first are foundational truths. Well, I'm sure getting long-winded. And then he moves us on into, higher truth, but truth that is built upon those foundations. And some of the things I know that, that if you avoid, some of these foundational truths of forgiveness, of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, under submission to authority. Some of these foundational things, if you avoid those in your life, you're not going to have the proper foundation in order to apply some of these higher, I call them higher truths, but some of these truths that are built upon those foundations. And so listening to Vanita, it's hard to give people specific guidance because it's hard to know where they're at. And I think it's, we are have to fall back upon the Holy Spirit and ask him, you know, ask the Lord to guide us through that process, just as he has guided us as individuals through this walk of faith. But anyway, I'm starting to rattle now, but I'll, that's just kind of where I, yeah, I guess where I'm at right now. Anyway, thanks.
So you got to have a good rock solid foundation to make your building stand. And you are the building. Did you have your hand up, Nathan? I said, did you have your hand up? Okay, go ahead. You didn't? She shook her head, yeah, and then you're shaking your head, no. Okay. All right, go ahead, Vanita.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pat. There's that foundation. And I think it's like with just all of us having come out of different denominations and I guess being open, or the Lord changing our heart and our mind to understand and accept the different teachings that we accepted as we heard them, rather than just being like, I'm not going to believe anything else. This is what I believe and that's it. So, one thing that I did find, at least for me, is like that one, when David was talking about the oneness and the Trinity, and he talked about like he had believed that and taught it for a long time, and he was very firm in his foundation on that. But then the Lord told them, you know, just put your doctrine down and listen to this other guy for a minute, and just listen to him and listen to what he's got to say. And that's kind of where I feel like sometimes I need to, or, you know, if somebody's having trouble understanding something, it's a different doctrine. Like, okay, the only way you're going to understand this is if you put aside what you know, what you believe, and listen to it as if it's something totally new, and it might be true. It's possible, you know, I don't know.
Let me tell you what I do when I have in the past talked with a group of people. I'll tell them, I said, now listen, when your doctrine or your belief system goes against, first I'll ask them, I said, is the Bible the Word of God? You have to get them to admit that that's the Word of God. And if they have problems with it, bring out your NENT and read what's his name said about it. But anyway, what you do is you first establish that the Bible is the Word of God. And if the Bible is the Word of God, then the Word of God is more, is at the top of the list. It's our standard that we go by. You have to establish that. And once you establish that, then you tell them, if your doctrine goes against what the Word of God says, which are you going to use, the Word of God or your doctrine? And a lot of times that'll just shut them down, and they'll have to listen to the Word of God over and above what they've been taught in these apostate churches. Yeah, well, it could be a spirit, but the best thing to do before you even talk to them is bind those spirits up. And that's what I generally do. And I bind up every religious spirit in there in the name of Jesus. Then go ahead and talk about the Bible as the Word of God first. Get that established. If you get that established, then they don't have an argument. Yeah, Judy.
Well, what I was implying when I went like that is just like it should make them stop and think. It should make them stop and think about what do they believe and why do they believe it. You know, it should like,
yeah,
you know, should shake them up a little bit. Like, okay, well, he's right. So why do I believe that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Brother Lawrence, y'all remember him? If you do, you're getting a little old. Anyway, you remember some of his writings. All right. Humility, here's what he says about humility. Humility means a person will accept whatever the Lord gives him, for his expectations are not focused on himself. He is able to shout hallelujah and offer thanks to the Lord concerning anything the Lord may be pleased to give. And if he gives healing, we ought to be pleased to accept it. Just like the Word of God says. Okay, go ahead, Pat.
I was going to say that sometimes, I know when people are anchored down on a particular doctrinal point, that's not necessarily bad, but if again, taking it back to, the foundations and, you know, that whole process that I kind of just, explained, the Lord will obviously will try these doctrines, you know, these points. If it is a true point, you know, many times we will be tried in the kind of the fire as to whether we're going to hold on to that truth or we're going to let it go. On the other hand, and I guess this is why it's so necessary to follow the Holy Spirit through this process, is that when the Lord wants to build upon that foundation or that truth or expound upon that, many times situations will arise that will threaten that position. And we come face to face with possibly with fears within ourselves. And we, you know, and I keep going back to Psalm 23, you know, the first three verses of that is that he leads me, he guides me, he provides for me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, etc. And that same God that led me through the first three verses also led me into the valley of the shadow of death where there's fear. Where there's a sense of fear. It may not be like destructive, you know, you're going to die fear, but there's something there. Maybe there's an anxiety. Maybe there's an uncomfortableness with, you know, why don't I want to believe that? Am I afraid of that? Am I threatened by that, Lord, or whatever? And it's, I believe only when we come to grasp and hold and grab that fear and walk right into it and just trust that God is bringing these thoughts of fears or anxiety or whatever into my life because he has a perfect reason to do so. And as a result of that embracing and thanking God that he's also the God of the valley. He always lifts us up and builds upon that or removes that fear by truth, by the reality of his truth or his presence in our life, or our awareness of him, or whatever it is. And in verse 4 there, David's his fear, he turned to that fear and turned to God in the midst of that fear and worshiped God through that process. And God led him through it and destroyed that fear and lifted him up through the process. So again, I have to go back without, the first essential thing is to ask God for the Holy Spirit to fill us with his Spirit and his presence so that we can respond to him through these situations and trust him in it. So anyway, I'll shut up.
I'm trying to hit the mute button, there we go. I got it. One of the things that Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit should do is pray in the Spirit a lot. That builds up your faith. It really does. It builds your faith up. And then, did you know that the spiritual realm is our natural realm? That's our natural realm. The flesh is not. When we were created in God's image, weren't we? He's a spirit. So if he's a spirit, we should be right in that spirit realm, like you. And when we understand that we are that close to God, and we want to get that close to God, then we should do everything we should in order to do that. And to do that is to do the things that he's asked us to do. Paul said to pray, and he prays in the Spirit more than you all. And that's one of the great, when you pray in the Spirit, if you pray in the Spirit today, tomorrow you'll build on what you prayed in the Spirit today. You'll build upon that. You'll keep building on that. You'll keep building on it. And also, reading and studying the Word of God builds your faith up. We can't believe that God's just going to automatically throw it into you. We have to do something ourselves, and that is to do the things that he's asked us to do. And when we do that, we're going to walk in that faith, that full, bold faith that we all want to walk in. And we'll be able to tell other people how to do it. Is it that bad, Jimmy? I saw a yawn real big. I thought, uh-oh. Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, sometimes you don't remember about the imagination.
Yes, and, that's another big one.
You know, like, I was trying to look for some imagination verses. And there was one staring me right in the face. It's like in Mark 10:15. And then I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And I'm going, well, we were all children once. Do you forget that imagination? And, you know, what would be another really good imagination kind of verse? And, you know, I don't think I've ever heard anyone ever give a sermon on the Mount of Transfiguration. The one time I did hear about it was, it was kind of like an end time scenario of events that were going to happen. You had Jesus there and Moses and Elijah and Peter, James, and John. And you know, we've got to be ready for what's coming. And what is this word, transfiguration? How does it correlate with your imagination? Like there's the word transform in the Bible verse we all like to hear about in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And, you know, this transfiguration, you know, Jesus at the very end, when they were coming down the mountain, he told them, don't tell anybody about this until after, you know, I rise, you know, and, why would he say that, you know, and, what information do we have about transfiguration that they were told to hush about until, because I don't even think they understood what he was saying there. And so, you know, it's in Matthew 17. I just took a quick glance and it says here, and as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man be raised from the dead. So, come on now, people. You know what I'm talking about. You know? And the disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must come first? And then he sort of, you know, answered them and said, Elijah indeed cometh and shall restore all things. But I say unto you that an Elijah has already come. And they knew not, they knew him not, but did unto him whatever they would. Thus also is the Son of Man about to suffer of them. And they understood not, then understood the disciples that they spoke to him of John the Baptist, you know. And of course, he also, the Son of Man about to suffer of them, you know, maybe they didn't understand that part, but there's an imagination to this transfiguration. I believe, you know, Moses was shining over there and they had to veil his face. And now he's coming back to shine again on that Mount of Transfiguration. And so is Elijah. And, I'm sure their garments shone too, Peter, James, and John. But what is the imagination behind transfiguration? What is the imagination that we have an unveiled face? What is the imagination that we have to become as little children, you know? Explain to me these verses, because, you know, your people, not that I'm trying to say that they don't, but, you know, the people in these other churches, they don't really have an imagination for those kind of items. And, you know, I'm sure people can think of other imaginations that they could have. Foundation stones and inner chambers, you know. Come on, guys. We're supposed to enter that when we pray. And what is that inner chamber? Don't you have your branch in the vine to abide? You need an abode for an abide. You need a home. You have a house and then you need a home. You know, if it's a house, nobody lives there. But if some family buys it and a family moves in, then they have a home for themselves. So, you know, what are we looking at here? That are we not abiding in our abode? I go to prepare a place for you. So that has to be an imagination too, you know. And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we need to, and of course, your inner chamber, you're supposed to enter into that, having shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. You know, your Father who is in secret. So, you know, there's Psalm 91 in verse 1 there. And so, you know, this entering into this inner chamber involves quite a bit on the study of a temple, a tabernacle, you know, and there's an altar there. And we have an altar of grace. And some people want to serve the tabernacle. That's fine. But we have an altar, and an altar includes all the different furniture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have those things. We have a mercy seat. We have a table of showbread. We have a lamp. You know, come on, you know you have to take these physical temple items and make them spiritual, and they're all Jesus Christ and the Father, so we have a name. We have a new name. And we were baptized into the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The name is all the same, so who do we have with us? What amazing stuff do we have with us? You know something? A lot of people can do discernment, you know? I was told of a man long time ago in the 1300s, he got a word of knowledge, and he got a discerning of spirits concerning the word love, agape. And everybody liked the guy, you know? Came right before they were going to go exploring, you know? Maybe it was going to take 100 years for it to get intact throughout all of Europe, but it faded. It faded because people like to do war instead. And they went out and did it the wrong way. Anyway, so, you know, I'm just thinking here on this item. You know, I was told that some people in Christianity would think it'd be occultic to add imagination to your faith. And, you know, so I just like was kind of thinking of all the blessings, you know, that you have on that Sermon on the Mount. They're all imaginations. And of course, the one that ties them all in together in Galatia, you know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. I mean, he gave you righteousness. Don't say he didn't. Because, you know, you hungered and thirsted after righteousness. He sent you to UBM, and you hear from UBM, and you perused all the books, and then you put your nose in the Bible, you know, the NENT Bible or the ASV Bible, and you got a good Old Testament and New Testament there, and he fills you. He fills you with righteousness, which we apply by the Holy Spirit's name, because he's got to remind us about it. You know, he sends the Comforter to teach us and then remind us. You know, when Peter said, I bring you to remembrance of things, what was he speaking of there in I think, 1st or 2nd Peter when he says that? He's speaking of their Holy Spirit reminder that they were going to have. And well, what's wrong with that, you know? Like, it's the name, and you have that. You know, the name is the name, you know, is not the name in the blood and in the water and in the spirit. So, and they all have a record to bear to us. So, you know, and we have a witness. We don't want someone to come against our witness. You know, we have a name. We have a word that has a name, that has a mark, that has an image, that has a spirit, that has a lifestyle, that has a witness. We don't want anyone to take that away from us. And we'll never, hopefully never knowingly, but you know, you get these little things that come up sometimes. I'm going to just bring my little testimony. My internet company sent me a new router. And here I am, you know, with my new router and a little information sheet on how to connect it all, you know, so there it is. I go, okay, this seems pretty easy, you know, and I'm trying to do it. It's not going well. and I'm going, oh no, I don't want to start getting mad at my computer and everything. So I lost it. And then I turned it off. I unplugged it again, you know, put my old router in there. Oh, it still works, you know. And then I prayed and I asked the Lord for forgiveness because I got angry with inanimate objects. And, you know, I phoned my internet company and it just went so smoothly and the router's working. And I'm coming to you now without a hard line. And Ben knows what I'm talking about, even though I still have the hard line plugged in. And I'm from a laptop, so this ain't really a laptop. It's my desktop. I just don't have a mouse here. And, you know, I don't use my phone the way you guys do. I have a phone, but I don't buy stuff with it. That's kind of insane. You know, I need, like, if I'm forced to buy stuff with my phone, man, I'm just going to panic even more. But no, the Lord will take care of me there too. And someone's going to have to babysit me for that. But, you know, next thing you know, they'll be saying you got to go fishing with your phone. It's just going to fall in the water. Anyway, I pray that, we hook up to this imagination, even the word disciple. I mean, what is a disciple anyway? It's got to be an abider, and you need an abode for that. So, we gotta imagine our discipleship. If we got a house made for you, then what are you worried about? You know, he's got you, enter your inner. It's not your closet. Like, if you're out there and you need your closet, you can't run home to go pray in your closet. You got to do it actively right there in your inner room. So, you know, praise God, glory to God. And we need to be active with God's word. And, I don't know. I've been listening a lot, and now I just said my 2 cents, and I've been praying in tongues through the whole thing. So maybe I got a revelation or two, or all glory to God anyway. So praise God.
Amen. Yeah, that imagination is a powerful thing if you think about it. That word meditate in the Greek is, it also means imagination. Imagine, that's what it means. Go ahead, Pat. That's a great tool to use, too. Go ahead, buddy.
I was thinking of that verse that Andrew brought up when he's talking about when Jesus told them after the transfiguration, told them not to tell the vision to no man, or tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. In the parallel passage, or the harmony passage, that was in Matthew, but there's a harmony, the same story, over in Mark, and it's in Mark 9. 9 through 13. But in that, he said, in verse 9, he said, and they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, save when the Son of Man should have risen again from the dead. And then the next verse says, and they kept the saying, questioning among themselves what the rising again from the dead should mean. So the disciples who were standing there and watching this transfiguration, and their senses were being obliterated, or shattered, their expectations or their awareness being shattered by a new awareness. They were so dumbfounded that Peter, of course, starts speaking and, you know, saying, yeah, we ought to build a house here for you guys or whatever, and whatever. So they didn't quite, they couldn't quite process what this even meant. And Jesus was, you know, told them, don't process it. Keep it in your mind. Don't tell anybody else, because you're not really going to be able to process this until I have raised from the dead. Because if you remember right, the disciples were in the upper room and, you know, were hiding away from the Jews when the resurrection happened, and they couldn't believe it themselves. I mean, they were, their earth, their awareness or worldview or whatever had just been turned topsy-turvy. They didn't know what to make of this. Even though Jesus had been telling them that the Son of Man will go to Jerusalem and be crucified for quite a while, they were not able to process it. They weren't able to receive it until certain things happened to them and changed their awareness. A few days ago, I was reading about light. The thought came to me, you are the light of the world, as a matter of fact. I won't say that. I searched the scripture for those light of the world in the New Testament. And it's interesting that, was interesting to me that Jesus, and light is, you know, when he speaks about light is a frequency. You know, light is a very high frequency, and there's different shades of different light and whatever. And there's light that is visible, but not to the human eye, because we don't have the ability to receive it. Our eyes are limited in the frequency spectrum or bandwidth in order to receive that. Our eyes don't function in that frequency. We're not able to perceive other light. I had an interesting, I'm going to have to do a tangent here, but I had an interesting situation that happened to me a week or two ago, and I was out looking at the full moon. I took a picture of the full moon, and I came back in to get my keys, because I had to run to the store, and I just came back out, and there was a fox standing out there in front of me, probably 15 feet away, next to a little tree. And so I don't know why, but I just started talking to him, you know, like a puppy. And he stood there and looked at me, and then he sat down and he started talking to me, not talking English. Obviously, he was just, you know, you could tell his ears were up, and he turned his head and he started howling at the moon. He, you know, perfect, beautiful picture, howling at the moon. But the interesting thing is I couldn't hear him. I couldn't hear him. And I'm wondering, he was either faking howling, or he was howling at a different frequency that my ears were not able to perceive. I wasn't receiving that frequency, which I thought was kind of interesting. And maybe that's what jettisoning me over to reading about light. But light is a frequency that until we receive it, when the light comes on in the room, your eyes see, you're able to receive the light, and you're able to see everything around. That light overcomes the darkness. But interesting thing about these disciples, when Jesus was talking to them about the transfiguration, don't say anything because your receiver is not expanded wide enough to be able to receive that light. And so I'm going to read about four or five scriptures here, and it almost shows a progression. And John 8:12, he says, again, therefore, Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And in John 9:5, it said, when I am in the world, I am the light of the world. All talking about Jesus and what he's saying about himself and him being light. John 8:12, again, therefore, Jesus spake unto them and said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So obviously, following Jesus allows us to receive that light in order to be guided. John 12:35, Jesus therefore said unto them, yet a little while is the light among you. Walk while ye have the light, that the darkness overtake you not. And he that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goes. So there's that aspect of Jesus has given us light, but we need or are required to walk in that light. And if we don't walk in that light, our receiver gets a little dulled. We're not able to perceive it. First John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So Jesus being the light and we following Jesus receive the light and more light, and we're able to be open and honest with our brothers and sisters and dwell in that light and confess our sin and walk in the truth. And then in Matthew 5:14, he says, ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, et cetera, et cetera. You can read the rest of that. But now he's saying, we are the light of the world. So it's first Jesus, it's first us following him, it's first us learning to walk in that light and receiving more light, and that light expands and comes into us and expands in us, and we actually become that light with Jesus dwelling in us. And then in Revelation 21:24, and the nations shall walk amidst the light thereof, and the kings of the earth bring their glory unto it, talking about, I believe, Zion. So I think it kind of ties in with receiving his word walking in it and maturing in it. And I think without walking or applying this word, our receiver can't expand and have the capacity to receive more. So anyway, just throw those thoughts out.
Amen. If Thank you, Pat. Anyone else? You know, I remember what Blake said. We were talking about healing earlier. About healing. And we often talked about understanding who you are in Christ, to have the faith that Jesus had, because you have Christ in you, and if you've got Christ in you, you have the capabilities that he had. And the problem is right here, and the way to get this to hear, which is the heart, the spirit, get it in our spirit, is to practice it, is to read those scriptures about healing, read those scriptures about faith, the promises that he's given us over and over and over again. And not only that, when the opportunity arises to help somebody, don't think about it. Just walk up and do it. You know what I mean? Because if you think about it, you go, well, what if they don't get it? What if this? What if that? But I can tell you how the miracles happen. It's not even thinking about it, just walking up to somebody and say, let me pray for you. And they'll say, yeah, okay. You go ahead and pray for me. You just declare and decree that they're healed. And they're healed. You can't, if you're walking and you see somebody that needs help, that we are to bring the kingdom of heaven down here, right? That's our job. And to bring the kingdom of heaven down here is to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, all of those things. And in order to do it in a way that would be effective, is to don't think about what you're going to do, just go ahead and do it. You know, if you see an opportunity, and that's what happened to me when I first started this healing and deliverance ministry that I went through, is I learned from other men like Lake that you just go and do it. It's like the time that he was sitting there with the guy that came in, and he told him, he said, I'm a Roman Catholic. I'm not going to change. I don't believe in healing. Now, what are you going to do for me? Lake got up out from behind that beautiful vest he had, walked up to him, grabbed him, sat there and just talked with him for a few minutes. Just talked with him. All he did, he held it, he grabbed his cane or his walker or whatever it was he had and pulled it off to one side. It was a crutch, I think is what it was. And he talked to him, and he kept talking to him, and he kept talking to him. But what he was doing, he was releasing the power of God as he held on to him. And when the guy said, well, I've got to go, and he just turned around and walked off. He wasn't crippled anymore. And he got down to the end of the hall, and Lake said, hey, you forgot this. You want it? The guy said, to hell with it. And Lake said, that's right. That's a good way to put it. And he threw it away. But that's the bonus that you've got to have in order to show Christ to people. That's the light that you were talking about. That's the light that people want to see, is to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. It'll be, but don't even think about it. It should be second nature to you. Just go up to somebody and say, can I pray for you? I did that the other day out there at the park. Guy was, boy, he was in bad shape. He was walking up through there. An older guy. Probably younger than I was. But anyway, I went up and I grabbed him and I stopped him. I said, hey, how's it going? He said, oh, it's going okay. He was walking very slow. And I said, what's the matter with your leg? He told me. I said, can I pray for you? After I told him, I said, you know, the word of God says in Mark 11, 23 and 24, that if you pray and believe what you pray, you're going to have it. I said, I got the faith. If you'd like for me to pray for you, I'm going to pray for you. He said, yeah, that'd be fine. So I grabbed his hand. I'm sitting there praying for him, commanding that his legs to straighten up. And I think what I said was, I command those legs to straighten up to the word of God and be healed in Jesus' name. And I break the power of Satan off of him right now in Jesus' name. It's the spirit of infirmity, go from him. And I said, there, it's done. You're healed. And so he said, thank you. And so I walked off and he hobbled on over to his car. It was a little bit of long distance. I was right there at my truck. So I just got in the truck, and as I was backing out, the longer he went to that car, I told him, I said, now you need to walk to your car because that's your faith. And he walked to that car. His step, man, he was, he got healed before he hit the car. And, you know, that's what we do. We bring the power of God, and showing them what the kingdom of heaven is. And what he's going to do, I'm sure, is going to hold him and tell mama, man, I met this weird guy out there at the park, you know. But here's what happened. He prayed for me and God healed me. Oh, I don't believe that. Look at me, honey. Let's get out here on the floor and we'll do a little jig. Whatever, you know, whatever it is. And that's how the kingdom is expanded. Somebody else starts believing. Somebody else starts believing. Somebody else starts believing. I like the way that Curry Blake teaches healing. What he teaches you to do is to teach somebody else how to go out there and heal. And he said, don't think about it. And this is years ago. I'm talking, gosh, probably 20 years ago that I hooked up with him. And it was really revolutionary to me to go out there. And when the first meeting we had, I had him come up to Arkansas. And he came up there, and after the first meeting, I went out that day and found somebody to pray for. Some old lady was out there raking leaves in the yard, and she was having a hard time with a walker trying to rake leaves. And I went up to her. I said, what's wrong with you, honey? She told me, and I said, you want God to heal you? She said, I sure do. So I went up and prayed for her. God healed her. She was out there raking leaves like a champ, boy, I'm telling you. And what you have to do is not think about what you're going to do. You already know what you're going to do. You already know what you should say. You've already got those promises right here. And you go up to them and you say, you know, whatever comes to your mind. What I always say, man, I don't know what's wrong with you, but I'd like to pray for you. And I know God's going to heal you. Be real upfront about it. And they'll let you, most of them will. There'll be some that back off and don't want you touching them. But don't worry about them. You know, they just lost out. And I'll tell you something else. Even though sometimes you don't see, doesn't look like that they got healed, here's what I found out over the year. God will heal them immediately, maybe a couple hours later, or 45 minutes later. Maybe it'll be 2 hours. It's liable to be when they go home. As they're on the way home. That's liable to be after they get home. They're going to be healed if they keep it up. Because I've had them call me back and say, boy, you don't know what happened. You know, man, it was 2-3 days later I got healed. I prayed for a guy that broke his back in a motorcycle accident. They wheeled him into the church there that I went to Baptist church, believe it or not. And I was teaching on Wednesday night. I was teaching healing. And this kid came rolling in there and wanted me to pray for him. So I prayed for him. The youth pastor took off, man. He couldn't handle that. And I prayed for him. And I even lifted him up out of there. And I said, come on, we're going to go and do this, you know. And I prayed for him and did it. I didn't hear, he didn't get healed immediately. It was, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 months later, I'd heard back that he had gotten, he was healed. He kept believing, he kept on believing, kept believing, and God finally healed him. Now, I don't know if somebody else prayed for him or not, but I know that that prayer that I gave him, there was an anointing when I prayed for him, but he kept on believing. He kept on believing, is what I heard. And he came up out of that wheelchair. And that's the boldness that God wants us to walk in these days of hit. What you gonna do when you go down the street and you see somebody fall out from all of this stuff that they've been spraying in the air? Are you just gonna sit there and watch him and let the ERs come? Go up there and say, man, you want me to pray? Or if he's dead, just go up there and raise him from the dead. I command you to come back in the name of Jesus. Seen that happen. I had one guy, he lived on the corner from my house. He lived on a house on the corner away from my house. He's an older guy, and he had a stroke. The ER was there, and this was at nighttime. When I came rolling in, I stopped. I said, uh-oh, what's going on? And I walked over there, and the guy was in a wheelchair. They had him in a wheelchair. I said, I can't remember his name now. I said, what happened? And his wife told me, well, he had a stroke in there sitting on the toilet. I said, oh, yeah? Yeah. I said, well, I went over and talked to him. I said, you want me to pray for you? He said, yeah, please. So I prayed for him. And the ER wanted to, he come up. He got up. He was okay. He completely healed. And the ER said, well, we got to take you to the hospital. I said, man, I'm healed. I ain't going nowhere. He was completely healed. And that's the things that God wants us to do. It's a lot of fun. It's scary. Don't get me wrong. You know, that's kind of a scary thing going out there praying for strangers. But boy, when you see them get free, that takes that scariness all out. Okay, I'll quit. I just thought I'd throw that out there. When these earthquakes start, it's gonna be a lot of people hurt. It's gonna be a lot of people hurt. And we need to be ready for them. That's gonna be what do you think is gonna bring the revival on? Us taking the signs and wonders out there, preaching the truth of the gospel. How many of you know when somebody gets healed by your prayers that they're going to listen to you? They're going to listen to you. Man, what is your name? Where do you live? And can I come see you? You say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll come over here. Got some books here I'll give you. All right, anybody got any questions or any answers? Ben's about to fall out. It's a lot. Most of the time, 90% of the time, people get in fear. Well, what if? What if? What if? What if it doesn't work? What if this? What if that? You got to ignore that. That's the enemy. The enemy don't want you out there healing, folks. For goodness sake, he wants you to be fearful. You see somebody manifesting in the grocery store. I've seen that. Y'all, anybody ever seen anybody manifest in the grocery store? No? I've seen Jezebel. I've seen all kinds of spirits in the grocery store. We got a guy, we got a young man. I didn't know him, but I've seen him since I've been here in Walmart every time. When I first saw him, he was about, looked like he's about, 13, 14 years old, and now he's probably in his 20s. And he's probably about Andrew's size, but he outweighs Andrew probably 50 pounds. Great big old boy. But what he does, he gets in there in Walmart and he'll just holler out. Missy, I don't know if you ever saw him or not, but yeah. He just holler out. And I'm not sure what's wrong with him, but it's not right.
It was probably some kind of birth defect, or he was born that way, I think, probably.
Yeah, either that or he was hurt, dropped when he was a child, or something. But,
if it's you I'm thinking you're talking about, I think he was probably born that way.
Yeah, could be. I don't know, but I've only seen him, I haven't seen him in a long time, but I saw him, last time I saw him, he was a great big old boy. He'd be a handful. All right, anybody else before we close out? I'll tell you what let's do. I'm going to share a song with you. I ain't singing, don't get that in your mind. I ain't singing, but I'm going to share you some good music, good praise and worship here. Because remember, we started a little late. Remember that? Mm-hmm. So, somebody didn't tell me. It's y'all's fault. Yep. Okay. Let's get started. You know, it's all my fault. That's a good song. I like that song. Did you get the link? Okay, good. Well, all right. We're out of time. Y'all be blessed, you know? See y'all.